Jose Oakland, a Cumulus station.
Talking past a deadline in first Indiana, now Arkansas, I'm Tom Graham. The deadline came and went, but talks still underway. The U.S. and other world leaders looking to limit Iran's nuclear program in exchange for lifting sanctions. Correspondent Jim Sciutto says that's a sticking point.
It's believed the Iranians want those sanctions lifted immediately. The West wants to be able to phase them out so they can keep pressure on Iran.
Supporters of the deal say it would keep Tehran from obtaining a nuclear weapon over the next 15 years. Boycotts and protests have been targeting Indiana over a new law in the state. Now Arkansas expected to pass a similar measure that critics say could allow discrimination against gays. Supporters counter it's about giving businesses religious freedom.
This bill is not about discrimination. This bill is about First Amendment. A person's individual right to believe, and your right stop where someone else's right start. I mean, that's the basis of what America is.
Republican State Representative Bart Hester, President Obama commuting the sentences of 22 people serving time for drug crimes. I'm Tom Graham. Testimony has ended at the trial of Boston Marathon bombing suspect Johar Tsarnaev, correspondent Alexandria Field.
While it might sound like this is starting to wrap up, you know, this is just maybe about the halfway point, because once they deliver their verdict, then the second phase of this trial starts. That's the penalty phase, when the death penalty would be on the table, and really you get a reset here where you start essentially a completely different trial.
The defense has admitted Tsarnaev's guilt, but aims to spare the 21-year-old from the death penalty. Chuck Schumer appears poised to take the top Democrat role in the Senate as minority leader. Schumer took time to assure New Yorkers he'd still be there to represent them.
My activity in New York, being around this city, being around the state, visiting all the counties, will not diminish one bit.
During his time in office, Schumer has called for bans and crackdowns on countless industries and products, from powdered caffeine to certain bread used in fast food. Five Americans being monitored for exposure to Ebola have completed their quarantine time. Good news, no one came down with the deadly virus. I'm Tom Graham.
How fast are new Allegra gel caps?
I didn't know you got a cat fast.
How strong are new Allegra gel caps?
10 more lots to go strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gives you noticeable relief of your toughest allergy symptoms in just 1 hour. 2 times faster than Claritin, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's relief when the pollen's off the charts strong, even in the convertible.
New Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster. Nothing's stronger. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com. Use only as directed.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, I just want to say thank you for making my Geico Insurance ID card digital. It's easy to find on the app. It doesn't give me paper cuts, and I always have it on hand because it's on my phone. Because of this, I finally cleaned out my glove box, which was filled with years of paper ID cards. Any thought on what I should put in my glove box now? Sincerely, Trent Patterson. Trent, what can you put in the glove box? Here's a crazy thought. How about gloves?
Digital insurance ID cards, just a tap away on the Geico app.
A new study finds that most hockey player helmets don't do enough to protect the head.
Researchers at Virginia Tech's Biomedical Engineering and Mechanics Department tested 32 helmets and subjected them to different types of impacts. Only one helmet, called the Warrior Crown 360, earned 3 stars out of 5, which is a good rating. 25 out of 33 helmets tested failed to provide a rating of 2 stars out of 5, which would be considered adequate. Only 6 helmets were found to be adequate. 9 earned no stars at all. Researchers stressed there is no concussion-proof helmet and also noted the price of a helmet had no correlation to their safety rating. I'm John Stolness.
Higher state alcohol taxes could mean fewer fatal car crashes. That's according to researchers at the University of Florida. The University of Houston cutting actor Matthew McConaughey a massive check. He'll give the college commencement address for the fee of $135,000. On Wall Street, stocks way down. The Dow shed about 200 points. I'm Tom Graham.
Like the taste of fresh apples? Try an Angry Orchard hard cider. At Angry Orchard, we believe in tradition. That's why we use apples from a 100-year-old orchard. It takes 2 apples to make each bottle of Angry Orchard. So raise a glass to a time when apples were best served in a pint glass. Angry Orchard, when you're looking for something a little different. Crisp, refreshing, and not too sweet. Just like me. Angry Orchard hard cider. Branch out.
Angry Orchard Cider Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Drink responsibly.
This is Charles Osgood. What's the most important thing to consider when looking for the right insurance? Customer satisfaction. Auto Owners Insurance uses only local, independent agents to handle all your questions and needs. We serve policyholders, not shareholders. Our award-winning service is why Auto Owners is known as the no-problem people. Auto Owners, a policy of satisfaction. For the independent agent in your neighborhood, go to AutoOwners.com. That's AutoOwners.com.
KGO Radio News Time is 10:05. Students and teachers from San Francisco's four Catholic high schools are demanding that Archbishop Salvatore Cordileone end so-called morality clauses for teachers and school staffers. U.S. Treasury Secretary Jacob Lew is in San Francisco after a trip to China and says he's encouraged to hear Chinese leaders express a commitment to existing international institutions and high standards as they embark on their own international investment bank. Philip Schultz of Pleasanton, California, among 20 people honored by the Pittsburgh-based Carnegie Heroes Fund Commission. He died trying to pull a man from railroad tracks in January 2014. A quick look at your KGO traffic in San Francisco. Construction's up on 280 northbound and really causing heavy slowdowns from Mission Street to about 101. In Livermore, watch out for an accident on 580 westbound before Greenville Road. That's got the center lanes blocked. And in Woodside, you got a bang up on 84 eastbound before 280. No lane details on that. Your KGO weather forecast, clear tonight, sunshine tomorrow. We'll see lows tonight around 47, highs Wednesday close to 70. It's 55 in the city and San Jose. In Oakland, it's 57. I'm Lee Graham, KGO 810.
Helping you understand the new order in the 21st century, this is the John Batchelor Show on KGO 810.
Good evening, I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. It is snowing in Scotland, it is snowing in Moscow, but it is springtime in New York, and it's a good evening to measure the first quarter, just ended, last day of March, first quarter of 2015, looking to the second, third, and fourth quarter of the economy, the recovery economy, and my colleague and friend and co-host Larry Kudlow of CNBC and Kudlow Radio on the weekend has just returned from America to report to us on the economy improving. At the same time, we have parts of the economy that are struggling because of the low price of oil, but other parts of the economy that are benefiting from what you have left over after you fill the gas tank. Larry, a very good evening to you. Is it a mixed picture? Is it a positive picture here at in springtime 2015? Good evening.
Good evening, John. It's a mixed picture. There's no two ways about that, but my watchword here is don't get too pessimistic. The first quarter, as you mentioned, is going to be, I think, a terrible number between the winter blizzards and the dockers slowdown on the West Coast ports, and there was also a refiner slowdown. I mean, you could have a 1% number. You could have worse than 1% in the first quarter, but I wouldn't put any stock in that. I guess my basic trump card, look for consumer spending. After the low energy prices and after people come out again to shop in the spring, I think you're going to see really strong consumer spending, and that'll keep the economy in the mid-twos. That's kind of my take on it.
And consumer spending, that's that money that's in your pocket after you fill the gas tank on your way to the mall. That's consumer spending.
Yeah, that's one way to do it. I mean, income is actually rising nicely, almost 8% in the last 3 months at an annual rate. They didn't spend, they saved, and they stayed home. But I think the consumer is pretty strong. I think the business picture is very mixed, very mixed.
The market, you very carefully have led us to believe all these years that what we have to watch is the profits
right.
for the corporations. And I saw some hesitation at the end of last week about profits not growing or growing slower than they have over these last years. Is that a polite way of saying that we're unsure of the profits?
Yeah, I mean, Wall Street analysts are marking down their expected profits, and they've marked them down a lot. My own opinion is they've marked them down too much. We did get new information on the fourth quarter, John, where domestic non-financial profits, which is what I regard as core profits, up nearly 8% year on year. And I think that's more reflective of the profit story, although some people would disagree. Foreign profits are lousy because the rest of the world is in recession. But domestic profits aren't bad. I buy the dip. Bottom line, bottom line, as these stock markets, you know, you have sell-offs like today, so I would be still buying dips. And I would buy domestic-oriented companies, like techie companies I like a lot, And I also like the smaller companies from the Russell 2000 because they don't do that much business overseas. They're mostly home buddies.
We welcome our colleague David Malpass, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal. David is the president of Ansema Global, commenting not just on the market economy or the Main Street economy of gasoline tanks, but also on the economy as conceived, as imagined, the vision of the Federal Reserve, especially recent remarks by Janet Yellen, the chair. And David, you have a wonderful forecast. It's in line with here the spring weather of 2015, cloudy with a chance of slower growth. Good evening to you, David.
Hi, John. Good to be on.
And this slower growth, is it upon us? Is it behind us? Do you see it into the summertime, David?
You know, I agreed with how Larry put it, and so we should recognize this has been slow growth for 6 years now. And so the idea of the U.S. economy only growing 2% or 2.5% each year, in 2014 it was a better than average year, but it was only 2.4% year over year in the fourth quarter, which is very weak. And what's happening notably now is the nominal growth. If you don't add, if you include the inflation, because the inflation rate is coming down, there's just less GDP going around in the U.S. economy and also in the global economy. Janet Yellen explained the weak growth in her recent speeches and testimony. By saying that, well, what did you expect after such a deep financial crisis in 2008? So the Fed, which has been lowering its forecast dramatically, the Fed is blaming it on 2008, which I just don't buy.
You know, it's really interesting, David. Did you see the Ben Bernanke blog?
Yeah, he's going to be a blogger.
Right. I love that he's going to be a blogger from the Brookings Institute. Anyway, his blog, which I actually read carefully, I was so interested to see, he pointed out how low real interest rates are. And he said, you know, the reason why real interest rates are low is not because of Fed policy, but it's because of economic slow economic growth worldwide and low inflation worldwide, and that combination is producing low real rates, which, unless they change, probably means we're going to continue this sluggish pattern. What do you think of his points?
You know, I actually agree with that. So I'll toot my horn. I did a Wall Street Journal article in June of 2014 saying basically that the Washington, and not just Washington, but Europe and Japan have changed the way that they operate monetary policy. They now use regulatory overlay, and so they're not letting the banks leverage up. And so we don't get the big booms and busts that we used to get. And so the inflation rate is lower going forward. And that means that kind of is, I think, a good way to explain why the stock market has done well. Even though earnings aren't great, if you're going to have low inflation, then you're willing to pay quite a bit for future earnings.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't rule out that you can go too far with that theory. But I think we're in an environment where for some years we can have lower inflation, lower growth. My big concern is that doesn't work at all for other countries. If you look at Brazil and you tell them the U.S. is going to keep growing 2% a year, that just doesn't work for them.
Well, yeah, of course, they're doing some bad things in their policies, as you know.
Right.
But it also, coming back to Bernanke, John Batchelor, he really downplayed, and this is so interesting to me, he downplayed the power of the Fed to stimulate economic growth. He really did. He went out of his way to downplay it and say, you know, you have these global forces at work. And I think Dave Malpass agrees with this. The QE monetarist experiment, which in my humble opinion did not work here in the U.S., and by the way, I'm glad it didn't work, because if it had worked, the inflation rate might be 15%. But it isn't going to work in Europe, and it isn't going to work in Japan. All of us need lighter regulations and lower tax rates, with the USA especially needing lower corporate tax rates to stimulate economic growth. That's sort of my take.
Mr. Bernanke did not say that, Larry.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. That's implicit.
Well, I believe he believes that because he has a little bit of supply-side blood in him. But no, the stumbling block is Obama. Obama wants to tax businesses, okay? And people have put the pencil to Obama's tax reform. The best you can get is maybe a one-point drop in the corporate rate. Obama hates the overseas profits, so he wants to tax businesses more without lowering rates, without expensing investment. You know, that's just wrong. So that's why, you know, I think Dave's outlook is right on target, and I agree with him about the stock market multiples. Up to a point, low inflation, will help your stock market multiples.
David, I want you to measure for us what you hear from a corporate America about investing or about growing or about taking the profits and turning them into growth. And is corporate America still hesitating as it did in 10, 11, 12, and 13? Because it doubts the administration. It doubts fiscal policy out of Washington. When we come back with David Malpass of Encima Global and Larry Kudlow of CNBC and Kudlow Radio on the weekend, I'm John Batchelor.
Just looks that whole squeaky clean. She loves Dynavite.
I've just tried this wonderful, catalicious Dynavite for cats.
The vitamins, the minerals.
It's got all the stuff in it that cats really like.
You don't even have to put food with the Dynavite. She will eat the powder right out of the scoop.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out because I'd seen the changes in my dog.
She is not scratching anymore. She's not chewing anymore.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
Sammy, he's 13, 14 years old and running around a little bit more. His coat is a little bit softer and shinier.
Justin's eyes sparkle more. He bats at stuff. He kind of jumps around.
Daisy and Poopy have a cat tree in my living room, and lately she's been climbing up to the top, jumping up there, and then she'll climb back down, and then she's right back up again.
It is just the best Dynavite for cats.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Racing legend Richard Petty for Blue Emu.
Maintenance is important. To help me keep feeling my best, I use odor-free Blue Emu made with real emu oil. Blue Emu Continuous Pain Relief Spray has an active ingredient to relieve the aches and pains of my muscles and joints, and it's perfect for hard-to-reach places. Hey, even us precision machines need a little help sometimes. Use what I use, Blue Emu. It works fast, and you won't stink.
Blue Emu, available at Walmart, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and other fine stores.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
My cigar-loving friends, that buzzing sensation you feel in your back pocket is your wallet talking to you. Because it knows that for a limited time and only when you order your favorite cigars from FamousSmoke.com, your wallet is going to get fat and happy with an instant 10% cash back on your next cigar purchase. All the best and highest rated brands are already on sale at LowFamousSmoke.com prices, like Monte Cristo, Cuba Cuba, Romeo, Partagas, and La Gloria, which makes this cash back offer the icing on the cake. So let's keep your wallet happy and your humidor full. And if you need a new humidor, we can even help you there too. It only takes one click to get your free money back. Go to FamousSmoke.com and click the Activate button to save when you order the cigars you love. Get 10% of your hard-earned cash back in your wallet with your order of $75 or more today. You won't get a bigger return on your cigar dollar from anywhere else. Go to FamousSmoke.com and click the Activate button to order today. FamousSmoke.com. That's FamousSmoke.com.
O'Reilly.
If your vehicle isn't stopping like it used to or makes squealing noises when you brake, shop the Spring Brake Deal Savings Event at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors and get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Don't miss the Spring Brake Deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Did you get a new job last year? Or did you not get a new job because on the way to the interview you remembered you're terrible at interviews, so you hired a guy off the internet to do the interview for you and didn't really think it through because he got the job and is now very happy in his new position? Huh. No matter what you went through last year, Answering questions like, did you get a new job, is much simpler. Intuit TurboTax. It's amazing what you're capable of.
You're listening to The John Batchelor Show on KGO 810.
I'm John Batchelor, Larry Kudlow, CNBC, and Kudlow Radio is here, and we're joined by our colleague David Malpass of Ansema Global. And the question hanging in the air, David, is from your conversations in the American economy, is corporate America, is small business America, is it still keeping money in its pocket because it doubts Washington, it doubts the promises of the White House, it doubts that regulation will be lifted, and it doubts corporate tax reform?
Yes. So I think durable goods orders have been weak. They've actually been down for 6 months now on the CapEx spending side. And it's not just corporate America, but unincorporated companies, which are really critical in job growth and in new equipment purchases, for example, are holding back. And it's no mystery why. They're concerned about health care costs, about the uncertainty on the tax code. Remember, we still have this tax code that's super overcomplicated, and there's no real movement to simplify it that you can see until maybe 2016. So I think we're in this slow growth holding period, and my concern still is that it works okay for the U.S., especially if you've already got a job, but it really doesn't work at all for countries outside the U.S.
Yeah, I basically agree. The weakest part of this whole recovery, when you look at these numbers, has been business CapEx, business investment spending, which actually, at the end of the fourth quarter of 2014, is barely above the prior peak in late 07, early 08. Barely, just barely. In other words, there's really been no recovery at all in CapEx, and I think that's really damaged the jobs story and the wages story, the take-home pay story, because those long-term investment projects, those are great job creators. And when you're building heavy machinery and plants or, you know, office buildings, that stuff is powerful. We're not getting that. We're just not getting that. Only thing I'd say, Dave, is it is interesting that we've seen a bulge in C&I business lending, which is running about 15% 3 months and about 12% 12 months. Now, I don't know what to make of that and whether that will continue, but it is possible that Main Street is doing a little better if they're getting loans.
Yeah, I think that's important. You know, it's not that loans cause growth, but that if growth and new investment is taking place, they probably want to backfill some of it with lending. I guess my only caution on that is it comes off a very weak level of bank lending in 2010, 11, and 12, and so some of it is a little bit of catch up from there. I think before we go, or as we think about going forward, we ought to put the blame squarely with Washington. The policies that they're doing are disconcerting to business, and so business then doesn't buy that new equipment or, importantly, doesn't hire enough workers to really be pushing the people who are not participating in the economy, drawing them back into the labor force. And we're going to need that income from those people in order to pay for all the spending that the government's been doing.
Well, we pay people not to work. It's the Casey Mulligan argument, John.
Yes,
we've
it
heard
is.
It. We're
and,
paying
and I'm
not
hearing, Larry, I'm not hearing any change. We've been talking about recovery since the end of last year and the jobs. But what you and David are saying is that the people who hold the job hiring decision making have not changed their posture, though there are more jobs reported each month.
Well, jobs have improved. Jobs have improved. There's an argument that it's mostly lower pay jobs. There's something to that, but hours worked have improved. So incomes, wage earner incomes have actually picked up quite a bit. And here, too, the energy
the energy tax cut, if that plays a major role. But there are two issues coming up, as we discussed, really in a few months, two important issues. Number one is the Burwell decision on Obamacare. And if that goes in favor of the plaintiffs, that's going to open the door to major, major changes in Obamacare. And the Republicans will have a positive message, which will have better choice and take the limits off of growth. The second one is Paul Ryan will weigh in with a business tax cut plan, I think sometime around June. So we're at the beginning of April now. So the next couple of months could be very interesting. It does give Republicans some pro-growth openings and some economic choice openings. Obama will probably resist it, but it might be more interesting.
So Larry's exactly right, but you want to bet on this. I'll take the side that says government is going to get bigger faster than you can do those pro-growth changes. One of the things that's been going on in the U.S. and especially in Europe is that with the slow growth, that's been an excuse for the government to drastically expand itself. So in the U.S., we're seeing it with there's a organization called the CFPB, the Consumer Finance Protection Board, which is inside the Fed and is growing exponentially, and there's no control over it. It's gotten out from under the checks and balances within the economy. The Fed itself has gone through a massive expansion of its portfolio, and they're still holding $4.5 trillion of assets. You know, they never used to hold assets, and they're planning to hold those. It looks like from this recent testimony that's been out, they're planning to hold them for 10 years. For maybe, you know, imagine if 10 years from now the Fed still has an extra $1 trillion in assets. Congress, somebody is going to be proposing that they swap them out for government infrastructure bonds or for other kinds of big government programs. I'm worried about the size of government here and in Europe, and there's no constraint.
Well, government spending as a share of GDP has come way down.
That's right.
Good. However, on your Fed point, I get that. I mean, I'm a guy, I don't want them to rush into higher rates. I think you're going to get some quarter point increases in the fourth quarter.
You said very gradual third quarter, fourth quarter.
Right. I'm okay with that, in view of the declining commodity prices and the rise of the dollar. On the other hand, David's point, I don't know why the Fed doesn't simply let their bond portfolio run off. Now, Bernanke has said that, although Yellen has not said that. Bernanke told that to a group of private investors, one of his $300,000 dinners. But I like that. Just let the bloody thing run off. And that really would be an orderly way out of this. On the other hand, if they keep reinvesting the interest and they want to keep playing games with what they're buying and selling, that's going to really keep screwing up the infrastructure in the money market.
They're going to be buying $1 trillion worth of government bonds over the next few years just to reinvest the interest. The reason they keep doing it, Larry, is because they love the power that goes with holding all those bonds.
David, their power at this point is timing, and you mentioned they're waffling in your Wall Street Journal piece.
Yep.
Third quarter, fourth quarter for a quarter point, do you agree with that?
Yeah.
We just have 10 seconds, David.
I'm worried that the world will slow down underneath them and they won't be able to do it. They should.
David Malpass of Ensema Global, Larry Kudlow of CNBC, and Kudlow Radio on the weekend. Cloudy with a chance of slower growth is the forecast spring 2015. I'm John Batchelor.
A full court press is great on a basketball court, but not in a jewelry store. When you come to Shane Company to look at engagement rings, you won't be swarmed by salespeople determined to score their next commission check. Because unlike at other jewelers, our salespeople aren't paid on commission. First, one of our diamond and bridal jewelry experts will listen to you to learn exactly what kind of ring style you want. Then, they'll show you only the styles that meet your criteria. Next, they'll show you how to use the magnification loop to properly examine diamonds so you can judge their true value and pick the perfect diamond for you. When you come to Shane Company, you can leave your game face at home.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, Shane Company, in Cupertino, San Mateo, and Walnut Creek. Open weekdays till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, online at ShaneCo.com.
I'm Dr. Peter Pantagotakos, the hair doc. I've been doing hair transplantations for 40 years, and I've dealt with a lot of hairline recessions. Now with economic recession, I'm offering my patients a 10% discount on hair grafts, up to $1,000 for a limited time.
Hi, this is Mark Curtis. Image is important on television. When my hairline began to recede a lot, the first person I called was the hair doc.
For a free consultation, call us at 922-3344 or visit hairdoc.com.
Dr. Panagotakis is Diamond Certified. I'm Chris Bjorklund with your Diamond Certified Report. Should you pay for expensive repairs to your old car, or is it time to buy a new one? Chris Cesena, owner of Automedics, a Diamond Certified company, suggests you first consider all the costs, starting with the monthly payment.
The fact that the insurance is going to be higher and the registration is going to be higher because they are on new cars versus older cars. Also having to pay the sales tax and all that when buying a new car. Plus, while that new car won't need repairs, it will need maintenance.
And for more expert advice and high-quality performance, use a Diamond-certified company. Each has scored highest in quality and the most accurate ratings anywhere. You'll never be fooled by fake reviews, since all research is performed by live telephone interviews that verify only real customers are surveyed. If you want quality, you'll have confidence in choosing Diamond Certified companies. Find them at DiamondCertified.org.
How can we make you happy? Well, at DGDG.com, one of the things we do is provide you with some of the most highly trained product specialists in America. Non-commissioned product specialists who have a passion for cars and take great pride in their expertise. Car enthusiasts that can help you find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget. So, how can we make you happy? We'll find out more at DGDG.com. That's DGDG.com.
You can join me for Avon 39, the walk to end breast cancer. 2 days and 39 miles. Sure, it's not easy, but that's what makes it worth it. Join my team and take the challenge. Avon 39, the walk to end breast cancer in San Francisco, July 11th and 12th. Register today at 39forbc.org.
Is your retirement portfolio actually structured to provide an income stream? Enough income that you can really count on. Hi, I'm financial advisor Pat Vitucci. And as you think about retirement, your goals may have changed. Now you need to protect and grow your nest egg. I can help you get on the right track for retirement. If you're not working full-time now or sometime soon, you need to make sure your income stream will be enough to carry you through your entire lifetime. I've lived in the Bay Area for most of my life, and we have many offices. I'm sure one near you. Call for a complimentary portfolio review. Pat Vitucci, Vitucci & Associates, 800-472-8305, or check don'tinvestandforget.com. Pat Vitucci, 800-472-8305, or don'tinvestandforget.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through NPC, member FINRA and SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Vitucci & Associates Insurance Services and NPC are separate and unrelated.
You're listening to The John Batchelor Show on KGO 810.
I'm John Batchelor, Larry Kudlow, CNBC, and Kudlow Radio on the Weekend, my colleague and co-host, and we're joined by our colleague James Taranto of the Wall Street Journal editorial, keeps best to the web. James is here to address with Larry and myself the topic of we're ready for Hillary. Indeed, we are. The news in these last hours, with all of the crisis in the Middle East, you might have missed this note that a young person named Robbie Mook and a young person named Marlon Marshall have both headed to Iowa and New Hampshire to prepare for Mrs. Clinton's announcement, expected sometime in the next year, but certainly probably within April, and her announcement to be president of the United States, ready for Hillary. This is a process so long in preparation that I want to turn, James, a very good evening to you, to entertaining what it will look like when the Democratic debates begin and Mrs. Clinton is not alone on the stage, joined by Governor O'Malley of Maryland, who is making remarks these last days that he will be a candidate, and Senator Webb of Virginia. Senator Webb representing the conservative part of the Democratic Party, Governor O'Malley representing the progressive part of the Democratic Party. James, what is to be gained, what is to be risked by Mrs. Clinton on the stage with those two speakers? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, I suppose she at least gets her face out there, and she probably is not in much danger from either one. I've long been skeptical about whether she will eventually run, but everything is pointing in that direction. As you say, she said she's going to, it has been said on her behalf, that she's going to announce in April, which is now a little over 2 hours away.
Right.
And so everything seems to be moving in that direction. I suspect that we will see a little boomlet at some point for either O'Malley or Webb. More likely O'Malley, I think, because Webb is going after voters who have already gone to the Republican Party. But it looks like she's got a pretty clear path, and if there are debates, they will simply serve to give her a little exposure.
James, what? Well, of course, I have no idea what she's going to stand for. No idea. But I'm interested in O'Malley. I don't know when the first debates are for the Democrats. Republicans are in August, but O'Malley is from the Sandinista wing of the Democratic Party, and he's going to have very clear positions on tax the rich and redistribution and anti-war and all that great stuff from Bill de Blasio and Elizabeth Warren. Now, how's she going to react to that? And is he going to create a protest vote that maybe not for O'Malley, but it's against Hillary? Maybe it shows up in the polls first, James.
Well, look, progressives, left-wing Democrats, really do not like Mrs. Clinton. And that's why she lost 8 years ago, because there was a plausible candidate running against her. This time they don't have a plausible candidate, but I don't think they really want to vote for her, or large numbers of them don't. They will turn to the alternative, and at this point it looks like that's going to be O'Malley. But I don't think he has the I don't think he will have sufficient support to give her a real race for it. I would suspect he will do a surprisingly strong second in some primary states, and she will ultimately bury
him. I want to press this just momentarily, James, because Mrs. Clinton's campaign is indicating, hinting, as they do, they're going to set up headquarters in Brooklyn, New York, which is a popular place to run for president, and that the announcement will come in April. I understand that she will carry the day in Iowa, New Hampshire, but on the debate stage, there are no votes there. There's repartee. O'Malley is very smooth, and James Webb is ferocious. I puzzle if she has more to risk on the stage than to gain with a faux pas, something that the opposition party could use in the general campaign.
Well, that's an interesting point. I suppose what that suggests is that she will be very well prepared, and she won't have very much interesting to say.
Larry, do you follow that she will take no risks on the debate stage?
Well, I think James hit it. She will have very little interesting to say. In fact, it may be to the point where people don't even know what she's telling them. That's the way she's behaved so far. And I come back to this point. Well before the primary start, you're going to have constant polling. And I think what's going to emerge from this constant polling is a revolt against Hillary, a sort of none of the above, that the Democratic Party is dissatisfied, and I think that's going to show up, and I think that's going to put her in a very unenviable position. And I just want to add one little thing here. Whenever she announces, I don't know, she's going to announce in April or whenever, James Tirano, I know the Wall Street Journal is not enamored of my friend Ted Cruz, and I'm not endorsing Ted Cruz. I'm not endorsing anybody. But I believe he said a new gold standard for announcement speeches. Whatever you think of the guy, he gave a brilliant speech in a very amenable setting, you know, with all these kids at Liberty University. Nobody's going to match that. Hillary, everybody is going to look staid and dull and boring compared to Cruz's barn burner at Liberty University.
Well, and Mrs. Clinton, at her best, is staid and dull and boring. I mean, to go back to what we were saying before about the debates, the one thing that may be interesting is you look at that press conference she had a few weeks ago, and she was very cautious there. She was going out of her way not to reveal anything, not to say anything that might hurt her. And yet I think it was something of a disaster for her because she sort of unintentionally ended up revealing that she had wiped her email server clean, and she looked very shifty. So I think even if she's cautious, there's a certain amount of risk just in appearing on the stage. And let's not forget, you know, she does not have her husband's political talent.
Right.
And she's never won a really difficult race. She ran 5 points behind Al Gore in 2000. 2006 was not really seriously contested. By that point, New York was irretrievably Democratic, and it was a very Democratic year anyway. And then, of course, she was unable to win in 2008 when she was inevitable. So in a way, I think that's why the Democrats or why the Clinton machine is so has been so careful to clear the field for her. Not that difficult a task since the Democrats are depleted by their big losses in 2010 and 2014. But whether she'll be prepared for a general election is another question.
Let's move to the general election, too. To choose from the Republican candidates we know about right now, James, is there one or two or more of them who seem best prepared to go on the stage with Mrs. Clinton in the general debates that will begin in October of 16?
Well, I don't know. All of them have, the Republicans have a sort of embarrassment of riches here, right? They've got any number of candidates who are plausible, who seem strong. I guess all of them have some weakness or another. And if you look at, for example, Jeb Bush, he is a very strong candidate, except for the last name. And because he's a Bush, he neutralizes the disadvantage that Mrs. Clinton has from being a Clinton.
Well, I just wonder, Jeb spent a lot of time raising money, hasn't said much about policy.
He's raising a lot of money, Larry.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm a Beatles fan, John, and money doesn't buy you love.
Thank you.
I think that's going to be a Jeb Bush theme as time goes on. And as you said, you know, GOP has embarrassment of riches here. You've got smart governors. They're all doing their homework. We've had several of them to our dinners in New York for the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. We've seen Rick Perry. We've seen Scott Walker. And we just saw John Kasich. Carly Fiorina was Monday. And we've lined up Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and we think Jeb Bush. I'm just interested. None of them have really clear specifics yet. Most of them are kind of in the same ballpark. But I think that the debates are going to be really important somehow or other. And let me just add, national security is going to play a very high, strong role in this election. And that's going to be surfacing in the Republican debates. I argue that is a big weakness for Hillary and could be a big strength for one or two of these GOP candidates. And by the way, Jeb Bush, you saw this flap with James Baker, who's always been against Israel. You know, the Bush crowd, Jeb's got to show people he can think for himself. That's just still up in the air.
Larry, does Mrs. Clinton have a domestic policy? When you think of Hillary Clinton for president, do you think of one or many programs?
Well, I think of Hillary Care.
Yeah.
And I also think that in 2008, she ran to the left of Obama, oddly enough, on what became Obamacare. Now, I don't know how she's going to handle that, okay? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows yet. And that's a big issue for her. And, of course, some of the other bread-and-butter issues. Look, is she going to go with Obama, tax the rich, tax businesses?
Income inequality. She's already used that term.
Income inequality, yes. That's exactly right. Minimum wage. People know that these are not growth measures, that none of this stuff is going to improve take-home pay for the middle class. They know that. And I don't know what the hell she's going to say. I just don't get it.
James, fair deal, square deal?
That is, she's going to have no choice but to go left. Let's take the three issues you mentioned. Minimum wage is bad policy, but it's popular. I think that's an easy one for her. Obamacare, she has already said, she had a tweet on the anniversary the other day of the fifth anniversary of the signing of Obamacare, in which she basically gave it a full-throated endorsement, or as full-throated as one can do in 140 characters, including a hashtag. And she's made some noises about income inequality. And given that one of the raps against her with the base of her party is that she's too cozy with Wall Street, I think she's going to have no alternative but to go left and to try to make some Elizabeth Warren-type sounds. Of course, the other thing she'll do on domestic policy is try to hammer home the women's issues, the culture war stuff, as she's been doing on the Indiana thing. And the Democrats think that works for them. It seemed to work for them in 2012. It didn't seem to work for them in 2014. We'll see how it works this time.
You've got it. Whoever the Republican candidate is, quite unlike Mitt Romney, who was the progenitor of Obamacare, the Republicans are going to run against Obamacare unless they miraculously reform it. So I think that puts Hillary behind the eight ball. I disagree on the minimum wage, James. I know it does poll, but if you add to the poll, the minimum wage will actually lose jobs, then it becomes very unpopular, and it's not a high-ranking type issue. And I agree with you about inequality and women's issues. And all I'll say is none of that stuff are big-time issues. The big-time issues are take-home pay, jobs, economic growth, and the Middle East mess. And I don't think she's going to have anything fresh to say about that at all. And that's why I think she's handicapped going into this thing. I think she's damaged goods, gentlemen. I think she's damaged goods, and she's going to have to prove otherwise.
Larry Kudlow, CNBC, and we thank James Taranto, Best of the Web, the Wall Street Journal editorial. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.
Have an option and a way to stop snoring, and you choose to snore anyway, that's disrespectful. This is a message for all you people out there that have a snoring problem. Here you have an option. That option is to buy a Zipa. You buy a Zipa, you stop snoring, we're friends. What's a Zipa? It stops snoring. What do you think we're talking about here? Z-Y-P-P-A-H. Zipa. It's Happy Z spelled backwards. There's no excuse. If you live another minute your life with snoring, it's your own fault. Go out there and tell everybody who snores to show some respect and get a Zipa. Zipa.com. That's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. It's Happy Z spelled backwards. Here you have an option. That option is to buy a Zipa. So listen up. Get a Zipa and stop snoring now. And if you're not the snorer, by now you know who is. Because everybody knows somebody who snores. Zipa.com. That's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? I'm Jim O'Connor, independent life insurance agent specializing in term life insurance. There's been a price war between the major life insurance companies. If you've had your term life policy more than 2 years, you may be paying too much. For example, a male, age 45, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $1 million of coverage is only $56 a month guaranteed level for 10 years. Or a male, age 50, non-tobacco user, issue preferred best, $500,000 of coverage is only $91 a month, guaranteed level for 20 years. The life insurance industry is going through exciting changes. Make sure you're not paying too much for your term insurance. For new or replacement term life insurance, call for a free quote. 800-799-0903. That's 800-799-0903. Don't pay too much for your term insurance. Call 800-799-0903 or visit my website at term22.com. That's term22.com. Rates based on standard underwriting and may vary by state.
Do you have $10,000 or more in past due federal student loans? Well, you may qualify to have your entire student loan forgiven with one free call. That's right. If you're a teacher, nurse, police officer, firefighter, or work for a nonprofit, then you may qualify for new federal programs to have your entire student loan forgiven. The Student Loan Council wants to give you free information on all the programs that can help, and the sooner you call, the faster they can help. Get the maximum loan forgiveness, loan reduction, or consolidation available. Plus, find out in the first free call what you qualify for. A loan forgiveness specialist is standing by to answer all of your questions for free. So stop worrying about your student loan payments. If you have more than $10,000 in federal student loans, this information could change your life. Call 800-506-5810. 800-506-5810. Completely wipe out your federal student loan debt. Find out how. Call now. 800-506-5810. That's 800-506-5810.
Hi, I'm Joan London.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
No time for allergies? No worries. Walgreens will help you get the right relief right away. You can count on our wide assortment of Walgreens brand allergy products for effective relief at a value you can trust. So swing by Walgreens to get in, out, and feeling better fast. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Right now with in-store coupon and card, 150-count Walgreens brand Walzer products are $5 off. Use as directed.
Now, kid, I know you look at me and think, man, that guy knows everything. And you're right, I do. But occasionally, even I get stumped. I know, hard to believe. But when I need help, I get it from Grainger. Grainger can solve just about anything, from finding the right products to advice on installation to troubleshooting. Grainger gets me what I need, right when I need it. When a guru needs a guru, who does a guru call? Guru calls Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Hear the news on KGO. Then listen to John Batchelor to make sense of it all on KGO 810.
I'm John Batchelor. Larry Kudlow, CNBC, is here as my colleague and co-host, and we're going to the preview of the New York Auto Show. It's springtime. There's a New York Auto Show, but it hasn't opened to the public yet. It's previewing all over town, and Brooklyn seems to be the place this year, Larry, because not only is Mrs. Clinton's campaign indicating that that will be their world headquarters, Brooklyn, New York, but also I welcome Lou Anne Hammond of Driving the Nation. She is in Brooklyn, New York, at a Cadillac event for a machine called the CT6, which Lou tells me is a two-seater that is not a jet airplane. It's meant to be on four wheels. This is a Cadillac rollout of the CT6, but there's a new president at Cadillac, Johan Dennison. He's from South Africa, and he is going to remake Cadillac because it will make a lot of money if it's successful. Lou, first of all, what is a CT6? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Larry. Yeah, it's a one of the more beautiful cars. You know, you're always thinking of luxury and the refinement, and it's going up against the Mercedes, up against Audi and BMW and Lincoln. And so what they're trying to do now is have a strategy, have a plan that will take them through for the next 10 to 15 years, where Johan says that they have to get their act together within 10 years. Otherwise, the dilution starts.
Luann, is the unveiling tonight, the USA unveiling, is it tonight?
It just happened, Larry.
And
yes.
What, were you there? Did you see it?
I did. I saw it. It's gorgeous. It was all in white, and we're at the Naval Yards in Brooklyn. It's a 400 pound-foot of torque, all-wheel drive. If you know what magnetic ride control is, it has that, and that is my favorite technology in the world to have on a vehicle. It's got 13 different types of materials to build the car, including aluminum and steel. And it has taken David Leon and the rest of the engineers a long time to bring this forward. That if you know Johan Dennison's name, it's because he was the president of Audi, he was the president of Infiniti, and GM brought him over, and now he is in New York. And he brought all of Cadillac over to New York instead of leaving it in Michigan, because he really thought that it needed to have that pinnacle of premium, and he thinks New York is the place to have pinnacle of premium.
Well, last year Cadillac sales went down. My question is, what's the pricing on this car in terms of the sales outlook?
So they have not said, but what I do know is that the CTS is around $74,000. I do think that the CT6 will come in around $60,000, top out around $90,000. Now, the Mercedes S-Class starts around $90,000. The CTS-V will start out at around $90,000. I know you used to have a Cadillac Escalade, didn't you?
I had the hybrid Escalade about a half a dozen years ago. And we talked about this on the Cudlow Report. It was the worst automobile I have ever driven. That's point number one. And point number two, the last 2 years of my lease, that SUV spent as much time in the shop as it did on the road with me driving it. That's how bad it was. It was the worst car I've ever had.
I would tell you now that that Johan has said that they will have more cars out. He spoke about five different cars, and including one that was a bespoke that will come out in 2020. But he also spoke about having different powertrains and different engines. It will have diesel. It will have a plug-in hybrid. And it will have the regular gasoline engines along with the twin turbos.
Luann, Cadillac. Why do we need Cadillac? Why does General Motors need Cadillac? What's it for?
Well, the interesting part about the paradigm of cars is that 10% of the cars sold in the entire world are luxury vehicles.
Right.
But they make up about 50% of the profit. Johan told me tonight that when he was working at it was Volkswagen Group owns Audi and Porsche, but Volkswagen Group was not the one making the money. Audi and Porsche made 60% of the profits when he was working there. So you really do need that luxury to bring up the profit.
So,
right now, I would say that the most profitable part of General Motors are their trucks.
So General Motors needs Cadillac to work. It must work.
It has to work. It is the only luxury aspect of General Motors. Everything else is Buick is nice. Chevy and GMC, of course, is all trucks. But the Chevy is more for the commuter car. You have to have a luxury brand to bring up the profits.
I rented a Yukon XL, the big guy, okay, the big truck, and I thought it was fabulous, absolutely fabulous. Now, what kind of sales, you know, are these SUVs going to generate?
Well, the SUVs have been just killer. The Cadillac Escalade, even though you may have had one that you didn't like, I just had one 2 weeks ago and absolutely loved it. But those are the ones that are the profit makers right now, the Escalade, and then all of the GMC trucks.
But they canned the hybrid, right? They're not doing that anymore.
To my knowledge, they are no longer doing the hybrid. They must have heard you, Larry.
Oh, they did. No, I mean, I would blast it on the air. I was working the morning show in those days as well as the nighttime show. And actually, my co-anchor, Melissa Francis, would say to me, baiting me, how's your hybrid Cadillac? And I'd say, it's in the shop. So then we'd get a call immediately from the PR people in Detroit who were going to come fix my hybrid to shut me up. And they tried, but they couldn't fix it. So it was a joke, an absolute joke. So I guess they're discontinuing that.
And the Cadillac brand, I just want to make sure I understand this. They're going to build all powertrains between here and 2020, everything. They're going to compete with everybody else, electric or just diesel.
He did not say electric. He said diesel and plug-in hybrid. So he did not say electric itself. Even though they just brought out the Chevy Bolt as an electric vehicle.
No. Don't do that to us. We're not going to talk Volt again. We're talking Cadillac. Wait, Larry and I have had our filled with Volt and Bolt and Solt and all the rest. All right, that's called the CT6. It's rolled out in Brooklyn. It'll be at the New York Auto Show for everybody soon enough. Lou Ann Hammond of Driving the Nation. Larry Kudlow, CNBC, and Kudlow Radio on the weekend. Thank you, Larry.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-358-7816. That's 1-800-358-7816. Again, 1-800-358-7816.
KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and worldwide at KGORadio.com.